Please be seated.
Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Ever been forced to communicate with somebody from a distance because there's something wrong with you? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. We regularly say or sing, "Have mercy on us," in this church, but do we feel any sense of urgency behind our request? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. What we don't hear at the beginning of today's story is that Jesus and his disciples would also have heard these lepers shouting, "Unclean, unclean," from a great distance before they were able to ask Jesus, "Have mercy." And Jesus could not draw near or touch them in order to heal them without making himself unclean. That would be bad. I suspect most of us are familiar with the story of the 10 lepers that were healed by Jesus and the one who turned back to thank him when he noticed that he had been healed. This was the flannel graph favorite in children's Sunday school back when there were flannel graphs. That gave way to VeggieTales. And now, whatever new kind of video teaching tool the churches might think is going to work. When I was a kid in church choir, we sang a cutesy anthem about the event. You might have done that as well. The story of the 10 lepers has been a staple in Sunday school curriculums since time immemorial, although nuances of the horrors of leprosy are left unarticulated, thankfully. But even though we think we know the story, it is a depiction of an event, and a closer look can reveal to us more than we think. Right up front, we notice a rather obvious message about gratitude or thanksgiving. We think, of course, that's what the story is about, giving thanks. Well, yes, but there's more. If we change our glasses, we might notice that Jesus sees these lepers differently. Differently than you or I might see them. We understand that the one leper who turned back to thank Jesus was a Samaritan. Okay, we think we know about Samaritans too, but this could be more significant than we're inclined to think it is. And then, of course, could it possibly be important that one out of 10 turned back to give thanks, as we're talking in this season of reviewing our giving to the church? I wonder if Jesus had any expectations of these lepers. We read our own assumptions into what is actually done and said in the meeting of Jesus and the 10 lepers. That's only natural. But our 20th century American instincts might be a little askew. Is it reasonable to think that all 10 lepers really should have turned back to thank Jesus? Or is something more going on here? Among other things, today's story is one about marginalization. Probably nobody in the world is marginalized more completely than lepers are. The disease of leprosy is horrific if it gets to the stages where it can no longer be effectively treated. Skin tissue outside and inside the body deteriorates. Hair falls out. Body mass is lost. Limbs, small and large, can be lost altogether. Faces disintegrate and organs fail. Not only is it frightening and uncomfortable for both the patient and for those around him or her who do not want to catch the disease, but there is also a stench of dead and dying flesh that can never be covered up completely. There's no way of knowing how far back into prehistory leprosy has affected humanity, but it's safe to say that from the beginning of recorded history and earlier, lepers were considered unclean, forced to remain separate from the bulk of society, even from those that they loved. Once diagnosed, normal relationships ceased to exist. Although some families might have isolated a leprous loved one in one room of the house to care for them and control all contact closely until the condition of the patient got out of hand. Notice I'm speaking in the past tense here because of the context of our gospel story. But I should be speaking in the present tense, because leprosy is still common in parts of the world, especially in Asia. But to finish my thought, in most cases, lepers are forced to make new friends among those who suffer as they do. On top of this, lepers are compelled, earlier than most other people, to come to terms with death. Jesus had an eye for lepers. Of course, he had an eye for all marginalized people. His mission, after all, was to restore to God the entire human race, not just part of it, the entire created order, which, oddly enough, had all been marginalized through its own foolishness and bad choices, and now stood no chance of being reunited with its loving Creator unless somebody, like the Christ of God, did something about it. So healing some lepers so that they could rejoin the human race was just one small act that represented a microcosm of Jesus' entire life. The God we hear about in our psalm this morning is a God who offers hope in spite of circumstances, because he is not bound by anything. God sees us, knows us, and is with us even when we are in dark places. He sees us and knows us even when we are oppressed. He delivers us even when we dwell in the midst of slavery of our own choosing. The slavery and oppression of deadly disease was not something the 10 lepers in our story today had chosen. It had just happened to them. They were victims. So when they heard what Jesus could do, they sought him out. But they had to keep their distance. From a distance, they cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Then Jesus saw them, the scriptures say. Do you know that in many parts of Africa, a standard greeting when two men meet on the road in passing is, "I see you." This means more than just, "Hey, how's it going?" It means, "I see you fully and deliberately. I acknowledge you. I know who you are. I know your family. I know about your life. You are a complete person to be reckoned with. You can't fool me. I have a fix on what you're all about. Now tell me what's going on in your life." You don't just walk by each other anonymously. Jesus saw these lepers through and through. I think half the problem we face in knowing what to do about homeless people comes from the fact that we don't see them. They can be right in front of us. They pass us by on the sidewalk. And we really don't see them. Not really. But this is not the case with Jesus. Most of the time when Jesus talks about seeing, or when the Gospels talk about seeing, it uses a simple word that simply means looking or noticing with the eyes, blepo. But this is not the word used in the sentence that tells us, "When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.'" No, Jesus saw them. Like our native African greeting, the word here means that he saw into their hearts and souls. He knew who they were on the inside. He understood them. Jesus Christ shows us the kind of God who seeks us out and draws us into relationship with himself. He sees us deeply, and he understands us through and through. He knows why our lives are the way they are. And he comes to change things, to restore things. And because this deep, penetrating sight is the kind of sight that he uses all the time to see us, it's also the kind of sight that he wants us to use, truly to see the other human beings around us. The lepers keep their distance because they have to, and Jesus heals them from a distance. He tells them to go and show themselves to the priests even before they know that they have been healed. And they do it. But one of the lepers responds differently. As they're all walking down the road, when he sees that he has been made clean, he turns back and throws himself at Jesus' feet and thanks him. He is a Samaritan. Well, this is significant. Is he really more thankful than the other lepers? The Samaritan leper has been made clean of one kind of uncleanness that separated him from society. But now, even though he's healed completely physically, he finds that he is still a Samaritan. He would not be able to show himself to the same priests that the other lepers are going to show themselves to, because no Israelite priest would want to associate with him, clean or not. Jesus is the only priest this Samaritan man can think of to show himself to. His provider, his healer, has become his priest, and he recognizes this. It might also help us to recognize another layer of meaning that is somewhat hidden in this story, and that is the overlap in meaning between healing and salvation. In Hebrew, they are the same. And it is context that helps you to know what you're talking about. There's a similar overlap between faith and gratitude or thanksgiving. In ancient Israel, to be healed is to be saved, and to be saved is to be healed. In purely medical terms, in Jesus' time, if you suffered from a serious disease, it was almost always fatal. To be healed of a disease was to get your life back. It was to be saved. The lepers in today's story certainly knew that, and they thought that way too. Their entire lives had been ruined by a disease, and now they could once again live normally. They were saved. Parallel to this, an expression of thanksgiving to God was inherently an expression of faith. To walk in an attitude of thankfulness was to walk in faith. We who celebrate Eucharist every time we come together know this very well. At least we should, theoretically. But it might help us to think more intentionally about the implications of our actions once in a while. To celebrate Eucharist is to give thanks. That's what Eucharist means. And the reason we give thanks is that God provides for us salvation, healing in the big picture. Jesus can say to the Samaritan leper, that his faith, his thanksgiving, has made him well, has saved him. Because in knowing enough to turn and give thanks, he reorients his life, not to go on about his own business, but to face the God of his salvation and to embrace relationship with him. Giving thanks puts us in a relationship and keeps us there. We don't just pick up our gift and shout thanks as we run the other way. No, we make giving thanks a way of life. A constant expression of our faith in God's faithfulness. What is our faith response to God, though? How do we participate in giving thanks and realizing that because we have been healed, because we have been saved, we need to turn around and reorient ourselves to face our Savior like today's leper? How do we do it? Well, we give of ourselves. Because we are members of him, the person who is self-giving. Stewardship and generosity are not even issues for people who are truly thankful, for people who understand just how profound the salvation is for which they give thanks. Like the one leper who was compelled to turn back, we throw ourselves at Jesus' feet and give thanks. We show ourselves to him. We let him see us. We say, "Look, Lord, see what you have done for me. I know what it is. See me. Now I see you. You know what I am, and I know what you are." I don't see how we have much of a choice myself, unless we think that we can just ignore the whole thing and play stupid. I believe we can do nothing else but fall at Jesus' feet and show him what he already knows, that we are all we are because of him. We were lepers, and worse than lepers, and we had chosen to be that way. But he saw us. He sees us. He sees into us, and he offers us the healing that we so desperately need. We don't just owe him an offering. We don't just owe him a tenth of all that we have. No, we owe him everything. We are the tenth. We owe him our very lives.